Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Little Creedence Clearwater Revival to bring you back into the second half kickoff on the morning show on 960 The Ref, presented by St. Mary's Healthcare System. Logan and Josh Connor,
CCR,
bringing you through the sweet sounds of 1968 as we are now just 68 days until the Georgia football team kicks off the 2019 football season. I really do feel, Josh, it was like a week ago we said 100 days till kickoff.
It does. So. Yeah,
I'm with Dave. I'm not a big fan of wishing away our summer. I'm a huge fan of summer. But as that calendar keeps on ticking, man, I am getting excited. So enjoy this week as we play you songs from the 60s, but I'm not sure the folks are going to want to hear the songs from the 50s next week, so we'll figure it out.
I can't wait for the 30s.
That might be a good week to listen to the morning show.
Some teens.
It's always a good day to listen to the morning show, and it's especially a good day on Monday because that means we have one of our dear buddies, Mike Griffith, who knows a whole lot about the Georgia football team. Mike, thanks for joining us. How are you this beautiful Monday morning, at least from our window?
Doing great.
Good. Get straight to the point. I had a lot to talk about. You've got several articles I do want to touch on. But as we find out late Friday, we now know that Georgia did indeed dismiss its leading receiver from 2018, J.J. Holloman. I want to ask you about the impacts of what that means on the field. But first of all, I do want to kind of touch on this also. This seemed like a no-brainer, something that Kirby Smart sort of had to do when you are named in a police report and even going as far as admitting to putting your hands on a woman. I don't think there was any other option for Kirby Smart but to show Holloman the door. Is that sort of the consensus around what you're reading into this?
Yeah, I mean, I think Kirby's statement said it all, that's, you know, not an acceptable behavior. And, you know, there were a lot of interesting facets about this case, but obviously this was a, as Jeremiah described in the police report, this had been a toxic relationship for him that, you know, dated back to 2017, and he didn't get out of it. I mean, the relationship continued and escalated, and he, in the police report, he's quoted as saying that, you know, that things happened that shouldn't have happened, and then a year later, you know, the report gets filed, and you're right. You know, the interesting thing to me was that Jeremiah didn't talk to the team about it, or didn't talk to the coach about it when it occurred. It just seemed curious that he didn't have a lawyer representing him when he was questioned. But again, you know, these are things that unfortunately happen, and you're right. Georgia was in a position, and Kirby Smart was in a position where they had to take action.
It's a big blow for Georgia. There's no sugarcoating that at all. That was the leading guy, and I remember you and I both, and a lot of folks talked to Jeremiah during the spring, and I think a lot of Georgia fans were very excited about the quote chemistry that we talked about that he was building with Jake Fromm. But now Jake Fromm's going to have to turn to a whole lot of inexperience. If I'm correct here, I think Tyler Simmons is now the returning leader for Georgia after losing. And if I'm doing my math correctly, 14 catches, 183 yards. There's a lot of question marks on this depth chart, but we've talked to you about Lawrence Cager, among other folks. I guess what the fans want to know, Mike, is who do you think is poised to have some of these, hopefully, a breakout season and take on some bigger roles with Georgia's wide receivers?
Well, there's a lot of ways Georgia can throw the football. You know, I think DeAndre Swift had over 30 catches last year, and you know he's going to be a big part of the receiving game this year. I think James Cook and Brian Harrion. So, you know, you take a look at other position groups and their ability to catch the ball. Tight ends, Eli Wolf comes in, Charlie Werner. But they're still talented receivers. So to your point, I think Tyler Simmons had 9 catches last year and, 14 in his career.
Right.
And he's a capable guy. You know, he played like half of last year with a shoulder brace on, and he's a tough guy too. But a lot of speed, a capable guy. And Lawrence Cager, the transfer from Miami, a big 6'5", 220 target. And you know, I had a chance to go down to South Florida and visit with Lawrence before he came up here. And And, you know, this has got to be a career year for him. He's on the NFL radar, so I expect big things out of Lawrence. And Demetrius Robertson transferred back here from Cal. He had a freshman All-American season. And, you know, last year wasn't really coming off of a healthy off season. He didn't go through spring football. He came to Georgia late. He was still less than a year removed from the injury that had sidelined him as a sophomore. So I think we're going to see a healthy Demetrius Robertson. I think he's going to be a guy that could have a breakout year.
You had a conversation. You've got this in an article on DogNation.com over the weekend. I believe you spoke with former Georgia quarterback Eric Zeier, who expressed, you know, his thoughts on this. And I agree with him here that this could – there's no better time in a period where Georgia does have a lot of questions at wide receiver to have – the offensive line that we're expecting Georgia to have on the field this year, and some really good running backs that, you know, we know how this stuff works, that if you have success in the run game, that certainly does take the pressure, one, off of the receivers, and also creates sort of that one-on-one situation. What was your conversation with Eric and some things y'all talked about?
Yeah, I really enjoyed talking to Eric Zeier. You know, when I started covering the SEC, I thought he was, at the time, I thought he was the best quarterback in the SEC. And, you know, Peyton Manning came along and did some big things. But when I look at Eric Zeier, I think we're talking about one of the greatest quarterbacks in SEC history. I know some of his records have been broken and things like that. But for those who didn't get a chance to watch him play at Georgia, I mean, he was just an amazing guy that saw the whole field. And, man, he could just put it on a dime. First off, just got to tell you, for, you know, my first opportunity to talk to Eric, as a guy that watched his career, I was just like, wow, this guy was something else. And now, you just listening to the work he does with the Georgia broadcast team, I mean, what an analyst. I mean, you couldn't ask for anyone better to talk about Georgia football during these games. And I don't know if Georgia fans, I'm sure they realize how fortunate they are that Eric does this work, but he's spot on. I mean, he knows the game like few others, and he's right. He got right to the point. You know, when you've got a run game like Georgia does, that's going to put your quarterback and receivers in real favorable situation. That's going to dictate a lot of one-on-one matchups, because teams are going to have to commit extra players into the box to stop the run game because of that great offensive line. And when they do that, you know, Jake being a third-year quarterback, he can see what they're doing. He can make the read, and he's going to see the receiver that has a favorable matchup. So, you know, while the top five pass catchers from a season ago are all gone, now with the dismissal of Jeremiah J.J. Holloman, the receivers that return are going to have the benefit of a lot of one-on-one matchups and not much safety help, because those teams are going to have to bring that safety into the box to slow down this Georgia run game.
Speaking with Mike Griffith of the AJC's DogNation.com.
Hey, Mike, Josh here. You know, last year we saw on a lot of these big Georgia runs, J.J. Holloman was a tremendous blocking wide receiver. With his loss, is there, you know, going to be any drop off in the downfield blocking from this you know, this new crop of you know, these Georgia wide receivers?
You know, it's hard to say, because I thought Riley Ridley was also another great downfield blocker, as was Terry Godwin and even Mecole Hardman. You know, was pretty good at what they call the chicken fighting down there. You know, Kirby makes it such a priority. I have a hard time believing you're going to see receivers on the field that aren't blocking effectively. You know, one of the reasons Demetrius Robertson didn't get on the field more last year was, you know, maybe he wasn't physical enough yet, you know, to handle the type of blocking responsibilities that Kirby demands from that position. I mean, Kirby's serious about this. I mean, in fact, you know, when I went and talked to Cager, I told him, I said, listen, I know all these coaches will tell you that you have to block to get on the field. Kirby smart. In fact, I talked to Eli Wolf about it too. I said, Kirby's not just talking, though. I mean, he really will pull a guy if he's not blocking. He's serious about it. It doesn't matter how good a pass catcher you are. In fact, when we're in these press conferences, and Logan knows this, when we're in these press conferences and we'll say, did you see the, you know, what did you tell us about the run, Kirby? He'll say, did you see Charlie Werner blocking? Did you see the downfield block from Riley? Kirby will take that conversation in another direction and say, yeah, that's good, but did you see this guy blocking? Kirby's not playing here. I mean, like I said, all coaches say the same thing. Yeah, you got to block downfield. No, Kirby means it, and he means it like you won't be on the field if you don't. So, while there may not be the ability, there will still be the desire, and there will still be a great emphasis on that, because the head coach is not playing when it comes to this. He blocking, he knows, because he was a DB. See, he gets it.
Right.
Kirby knows, because he was out there. He was that safety. He knows what a pain in the butt it was when you had to deal with receivers, you know, that could take you down and take you out. So he has first-person experience. He's not talking out of some coaching book. He gets it. He understands. That's the difference between an 11-yard run and a 65-yard game-changing, momentum-turning play. Kirby Smart gets it. And I think a lot of these coaches, you think about them, that are former DBs, right? Nick Saban, Will Muschamp, Mark
Jeremy
D'Antonio,
Pruitt too, right?
Jeremy Pruitt. I think there's a, you know, Gene Stallings was a former. I think there's a little something to that. The guys that see the whole game, whether we're talking about quarterbacks, former quarterbacks, or whether we're talking about former DBs, and it's because of things like this, because of that first-person knowledge. So you asked me that question, and I would say that it would be hard to imagine, and I'm not saying it can't happen, but when you lose your top five pass catchers from a year ago, to say that there won't be some drop-off would be a stretch. But you've got to consider the priorities that Kirby's going to put on this, and also you've got to give these players some credit and say, hey, they wouldn't be at Georgia if they weren't really good talents. So we'll see what they do with their opportunity, and I would say Georgia fans should maybe be guardedly optimistic.
Switching gears a little bit here, another story up on DogNation.com. You wrote about Tim Tebow saying essentially that Georgia, I guess, is he saying that Georgia needs to beat Alabama this year? Now, a narrative that I'm hearing a lot, maybe I'm inserting my own opinion in here a little bit, but I'm hearing this narrative that Georgia has to win now or else. But I have a problem a little bit in a way where I watch the national shows, how they just come across as basically declaring Alabama and Clemson the greatest teams that have ever graced college football. And then they go on to say that, oh, Georgia, by the way, you have to beat these teams now or else it's all going to, you know, go away. I sort of view Kirby Smart, Mike, as building a program, not a team right now. And I don't really feel the emphasis right now, or the need to win immediately or else, so to speak. But what did you write about Tim Tebow, and what is sort of your notion on where Georgia lies on, is this a make-it-or-break-it season, or if Georgia comes up short again this year, they don't just trot out in 2020 and try again?
Well, I think part of what, and I'll say this for Tebow, you know, yeah, Tebow played at Florida, but that has nothing to do with his opinions. He doesn't
right.
come off as a guy that, you know, and he gave Georgia a lot of credit. He said, look, Georgia's been ahead of schedule. You know, what they've done, and he said they should have won the national title 2 years ago. We all know that. We all saw the game. But Tebow gives Kirby credit for being ahead of schedule. But he says if you looked at it a few years back, you'd have pointed to this being the year with the nucleus that Georgia has coming back on this team. So as far as the urgency, I think what people feel is because of the draft class that Georgia's going to have coming up. I mean, let's be honest here, Logan. There's going to be a lot of these juniors that go pro.
Right.
You're probably going to lose three or four offensive linemen. You've already lost J.J. Holloman. There's a good chance you'll lose Jake Fromm if he's projected to go in the top 10. Not saying it's a slam dunk,
mm-hmm.
but if you're Jake Fromm and three or four of your starting offensive linemen are gone, and, oh, by the way, you know, Lawrence Cager is a graduate transfer senior. Charlie Werner is a senior. Eli Wolf, the transfer tight end, is another graduate transfer senior. Tyler Simmons is a senior. You're going to lose a lot. Okay, you're going to lose DeAndre Swift. You're going to lose Brian Herrien. Your offense is going to be in. I'm trying to think how many starters you'll have back. Two, three. So your offense is in for a complete overhaul. So that's where I think the national media is looking at it as the sense of urgency. Now, what they don't know that we think we know is that Georgia's done a great job recruiting. But here's the thing. These guys have got to start growing up and doing the right things. I mean, I don't care how many stars Brenton Cox has. You know, if he's going to do dumb stuff off the football field and not contain on it, then those stars don't mean anything, right? And, you know, there's other examples I could give you of five-star guys that have come in here that need to start acting and playing like five-star guys. You know, guys have got to grow up. That's where this leadership's got to kick in. So who's the number two quarterback? Well, I don't know. I know that, you know, Dwan Mathis is recovering from brain surgery and things are going about as good as they can right now. But is that a slam dunk? I will see. I mean, you hope so for Dwan's sake. Stetson Bennett, you know, he's got a couple years left, but, you know, how much can he do at 5'11", right? Is he going to grow into Jake Fromm? Probably not. I think there's some really good offensive linemen that have been recruited. They're going to blossom. I think there's a lot of young talent at receiver. I really like Kenny McIntosh a lot and James Cook in the backfield. But these are unprovens. These are unproven. Same thing on defense. Got to get some, you know, some young defensive linemen have got to grow into some Lions over there, right? I think you got five or six senior defensive linemen. None of them right now that look like All-Americans, by the way. But you've got a lot of young talent. Linebacker's a spot I think we would probably all say we feel very bullish about the linebacking core. Man, there's a lot of talent there. I think those linebackers are unbelievable. And I would say the same thing about the talent in the secondary and the offensive line. But we've got questions moving forward about the defensive line and the youth there. We got questions about quarterback if Jake Fromm leaves. And we got questions about receivers. So when we look to 2020, there's a lot of questions. So does that mean this has to be the year? Not necessarily, because Kirby's recruited so well, and I think he's one of the best coaches in the country. But if you're on the outside looking in, the knowns versus the unknowns, this group right here, I'd say this is their time. And I would say as far as national championships go, that there's a window here and that it might be two or three more years before I'd say Georgia would be one of the top two or three national contenders.
Mike, speaking of unproven and kind of unknown is, you know, with the new offensive coordinator, Coley, you know, obviously it helps to have a three-year starter in the likes of Jake Fromm. But, you know, with the loss of Holloman and, you know, these new guys coming in, you know, how is, you know, you also wrote about this a while ago, but, you know, how does the addition of James Coley, how does he put a, you know, his spin on this Georgia offense and kind of this mix of, you know, veteran guys and Jake Fromm and these new guys that Georgia has yet to, you know, kind of step up into that role of, you know, everyday, you know, game-changing type players?
Right. Well, the first thing I'd say is because Coley's been on the staff a couple of years, it was a brilliant hire by Kirby. I mean, it's a guy who already knows your personnel, who already speaks the language of the offense, so you don't have to overhaul your terminology because that's always a hurdle when you bring in a new offensive coordinator or defense coordinator. So you've got a guy promoted from within who's done it before, who's done it at the highest level. So you maintain some continuity and you get the bonus of having experience and having someone that knows your personnel. So that's the first thing that's a big plus for Georgia and a big reason why Kirby, I think Coley was going to be the guy from the jump. I know the Kentucky people think their guy was interviewed to be the coordinator, but I know for a fact that's not the case. I think it was going to be Coley from the jump, and maybe they were looking at a co-deal or a different position coach. But so number one, you know, Coley's got the experience and he knows the personnel. Number two, you know, Kirby's got a certain framework. I mean, Kirby's the head coach. Now, where I say he's the de facto D coordinator, I think he's a lot more involved in defense in terms of scheme and meetings and things like that. I think he gives Coley a little bit more rope here to work with. But I think that Kirby does so within a framework. There's a certain characteristic, there's a certain personality that this Georgia offense is going to have under Kirby Smart. And it starts with the ability to run the ball, dictate the run. And Kirby called it balance. I kind of think he's using trick math here. But in his mind, balance means that you're able to run and pass the ball. It doesn't mean that you're going to go 50-50. So you know that with Kirby Smart, your offense is not going to ever be one-dimensional. Again, he's speaking from personal experience as a coordinator. He knows that you can stop one-dimensional teams. So Kirby's going to make sure there's balance. So those two things are where I start. Coley's experience, Coley knowing the personnel, and Kirby Smart putting down a framework for him to work within. Thirdly, Coley has shown me, and talking with players, they love the guy. That's another thing. They really want to play for this guy. I'm not sure how much they like Jim Chaney as much as they like James Coley. I think Coley's a lot more popular with the players. I think he connects better. You know, he's a little bit more of an upbeat energy guy. But I think the key is he knows how to use his personnel. He's got a lot of pieces. So even while we started this conversation talking about a wide receiver that's gone, and no doubt a very talented wide receiver, but there are so many other pieces in the Georgia offense. The reality was no receiver is probably going to catch more than 50 passes in this offense because of the balance, and because of all the different pieces that you have. So now maybe you throw even more to your running backs. Maybe you experiment and you put James Cook in the slot. I think I've seen him line up there before. I think I might have seen that at some practices. So maybe you move him out there a little bit more. Maybe you throw to your tight ends more. Maybe there's even more passes out of the backfield. Or, as Eric Zier points out, teams have still got to stop Georgia from running it. I mean, if Georgia's getting 3, 5, 7 yards a honk and it's third and second, third and two, there's no reason to throw the ball. So I don't think there's many teams that can really stop Georgia on the ground, maybe two or three. And those two or three teams, I think Georgia's going to have some other potential answers for Jake to throw the ball.
Mike, we'll let you go on this. Another story I wanted to just ask you about. Kind of an interesting read where Georgia sent what it's called its leadership team sort of off-site down to Florida. I think I'm saying this right, the MOAD Consulting Group. How do you say that?
Yeah, no, that's it. And Kirby told us at the SEC mm-hmm. spring meetings he was going to do that they were going to do some off-campus stuff. And that's just team building, right? That's just getting your leaders together and getting them on the same page. And that's important. I mean, that we look at some of the things that have happened, and they happen. Listen, the stuff that's happened to Georgia this off season, it doesn't make it right, but it's stuff that happens everywhere. It's stuff that happens to college kids. People make mistakes, and again, I'm not saying that makes it right or trying to excuse anyone, but I'm just saying that's a reality, and that's where the leadership kicks in. I mean, people can stand up there and say, "Oh, he's a great leader." Well, what is a great leader? A great leader isn't just the guy that makes the pass on third and seven, right? It's the guy that recognizes a teammate that could be going astray and pulls him aside. It's the guy that says, "Hey, look, no, you're going to hang out with me Friday night." It's the guy that says, "No, let's all stick together. Let's make sure there's three of us in a group when we go downtown mm-hmm. so that if anything happens, there's somebody that can, pull us out of it." Or, that's leadership, okay? That's taking care of your teammates. And I've seen that happen on other championship and really good teams. And I'll say this, I think it needs to happen more for Georgia. I think these guys need to hang out even more than they do.
Right.
And, again, reading through, that recent police report, I don't see any teammates' names that were around. If there's a teammate around to some of this, I don't know if it happens. I'm not saying it doesn't. Things can still happen. But I know that the more these guys hang around each other and the more they stick together, the less the odds of things happening. Because it's people are susceptible.
Right.
And unfortunately, so to me, I think Kirby was doing this way ahead of the game, even before, the Holloman stuff came to light. But I think it's necessary. I think it's smart. And I think it's another big step for the program. I mean, as you guys said, Kirby has built something special here. I mean, it's special right now, but he's going to continue, as he said in Destin, he's going to continue to make changes.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to continue to try new ideas. He's not going to get complacent. They're going to stick with what's worked, and then they're going to continue to try different things to make this an even better place and an even more productive and efficient football program. So I think this leadership trip, I think it was a good idea. It was kind of cool seeing some of the Snapchats and Instagrams of, Jake and DeAndre Swift and Eric Stokes all crammed into one car and looked like they're having a pretty, you just wonder what those conversations were like. And maybe guys that, spend a little more time together. And yes, I'm sure some of the talk was football, but a lot of it was just life and coming together and gelling as a team. Every team's got a different personality. And right now, this off season, this time in the story I wrote this morning, Jake getting these guys together for off-season workouts, this is when the personality gets developed. I mean, this is when, guys start to get to know one or get comfortable with one another. And I think the leadership is a big part of that. And just saying you have leadership isn't enough. These guys have to act like leaders and have to look out for one another.
Good stuff. Appreciate your time this morning, Mike. And you can read everything he does write at dognation.com. Anything specific you're working on this week we can look forward to? We're just kind of rolling with the punches.
Well, I'll tell you, rolling with the punches is the way to put it. There's a lot of fallout and there's a lot of things to write about after, you lose your leading returning receiver.
Right.
This is the type of adversity, though, guys, that Kirby Smart talks about teams have to overcome. And, he's already met with the team. He's already talked to them. And, I'll just say this, Kirby Smart is a really strong leader in himself, And it's up to this team to take on his personality and his coaching staff, and Georgia's got to respond from it, because this was a big hit. I mean, this was a hit to the title hopes, and this team's going to have to rally around each other and find a way, because this is tough. I don't know many teams that have won a national championship after losing their top five receivers from a year ago. I might have to do some research on that one.
Good stuff, Mike. We appreciate your time as always this morning. We'll catch you next week right here, same time, same place, and wish you the best of luck this week.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks, Mike. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. Mike Griffith of the AJC's DogNation.com.
Good stuff.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.